This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for July 6, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. There was simply too much news over this three-day weekend to include it all this morning. We had to stop somewhere, which is what we have done. The World Federation of Exchanges has published the World Federation of Exchanges Seeks Risk-Based Calibration of EU Bank Capital for National Equity Markets. The Financial Times reported that new Amazon CEO Andy Jassy has received a pay package that included 61,000 shares of Amazon worth $214 million that vest over 10 years. Of course, it could be worth a lot more, the FT said, as Amazon stock has appreciated 1,500% over the previous 10 years. Former Trading Technologies CMO Brian Mehta's latest musing on LinkedIn is titled How Improv Gave Us the Edge in Internal Communications. On Friday, the great Steve Stasiak retired from the CME, but still rocking and rolling, gave $300 to move the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign online counter over the $50,000 level. Thank you to Steve and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Episode number 149 of The Spread, the third of the second reboot of the video series, is out. CME Group trading volumes for the first half of 2021 are running 10% below last year's for the same half, after running at a pace of 22,269,000 last year. Average daily volume for all the markets in the group fell to 20,105,000 this year. The exchange operator says that 2021 second half quarter ADV was 5% higher than last year's pandemic-racked second quarter ADV, Tom Thompson reported. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. As mentioned earlier, we have out the spread. FINRA socks Robinhood with its biggest ever fine. CBOE acquires Chi-X Asia Pacific. OCC reports another volume gain. NEO takes its cue from options. John Lothian weighs in on his take, looking for more volatility, and Jermall Chandler explains hedging in options term of the week. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Pfizer shot halts severe illness in Israel as Delta spreads. Effectiveness against transmission of virus declines. Israel lifted all COVID restrictions at the start of June. Pfizer Inc.'s vaccine was less effective at keeping people from getting the coronavirus in Israel in recent weeks, but it continues to provide a strong shield against severe COVID-19, according to government data. The vaccine protected 64% of people against the illness between June 6 and early July, down from a previous 94%. The drop was observed as the Delta variant was spreading in Israel, the health ministry said. It also coincided with the lifting of virus restrictions at the start of June. My comment, I took the Pfizer shot and this is not good news. Mask goes back on. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Flaws emerge in Justice Department strategy for prosecuting Wall Street. A Barclays fraud case shows how a push to target financial industry wrongdoers can run into resistance from judges. Early one July morning in 2016, Robert Bugatti, a senior executive at Barclays, walked into what he expected to be a short meeting with the British bank's lawyers to go over a five-year-old transaction before he joined his family on vacation. My comment, they had me at flaws. Here is another story from the Wall Street Journal. Improper insider, quote-unquote, charitable giving is widespread. Improper insider charitable giving is widespread, study says. By donating a stock before news sinks the share price, investors can get a bigger deduction. Insider trading catches regulators' attention and garners headlines, but another type of insider activity is also widespread and far less likely to be detected or prosecuted. That's the conclusion of new research that looks into the practice of insider giving, timing the donation of a stock to a charity around inside information about the stock. That way, you take a tax deduction before bad news sends the share price tumbling, or after a good news sends the price higher, and the gift delivers a bigger deduction than you would have gotten otherwise. My comment: how to turn a positive into a negative in 3 easy steps. How to turn a positive into a negative in 3 easy steps. Here's a story from Reuters. Up to 1,500 businesses affected by ransomware attack, U.S. firm's CEO says. Between 800 and 1,500 businesses around the world have been affected by a ransomware attack centered on U.S. information technology firm Kaseya, its chief executive said on Monday. My comment: if cryptocurrency did not exist, someone would have to invent it to use it in cases just like this, right? Here is a story from NBC. Some locals say a Bitcoin mining operation is ruining one of the Finger Lakes. Here's how. The lake is so warm you feel like you're in a hot tub, said a woman who lives near a gas-fired New York plant that powers 8,000 computers mining Bitcoins. Summer on Seneca Lake, the largest of the Finger Lakes in upstate New York, is usually a time of boating, fishing, swimming, and wine tasting. But for residents of this bucolic region, there's a new activity this season: protesting a gas-fired power plant that they say is polluting the air and heating the lake. My comment: guess what Finger Lake I'm holding up to the Bitcoin miners? Here are the top 3 stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was obituary for Telerate founder Neil Hirsch, who died at the age of 74 from Waters Technology. Second was dark markets can be a geopolitical force multiplier, a Bloomberg opinion piece about Hydra, an aptly named Russian dark marketplace. And third was John Lothian News, Look, Something New to Spoof, a report by Tom Thompson on Pan Exchange's latest hemp trading data. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for July 7th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. You can register for the FIA training course, Understanding and Avoiding Spoofing Behavior, with a link in today's newsletter. The latest in thought leadership from the NYSE is from Stefanos Bazanas, execution strategist at NYSE, with a piece titled After Hours Price Discovery More Robust as Pandemic and Retail Participation Provide Boost. There's a link in today's newsletter to find this story. You can register for the 2021 Wall Street Rides FAR event to be held on October 2nd with a link in today's newsletter. There were no new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. CBOE Global Markets reported its 2021 monthly trading volume statistics across global business lines late Tuesday and also provided guidance for revenues per contracts for second quarter 2021. Among the month's volume highlights was a 12.8% gain for both total options volume and ADV compared with June 2020. Year-to-date, total options volume was up compared with the same period a year ago by 14%, but total futures volume and ADV traded on the exchange was down 0.9% from a year ago. In its guidance for second quarter 2021, CBOE forecast RPC, or revenue per contract, for total options in the period would be 3 to 4% lower than the projected average of 20 cents for the 2 months ended May 31st, 2021. The exchange operator said a higher percentage of its options volume currently stems from multi-listed options, which have lower RPC. More details are available with a link in today's newsletter. That was Suzanne Cosgrove reporting that. Morningstar's research group recently published an analysis of inflation risks and how investors can offset them. Stocks and bonds may fail to deliver real returns in an inflationary environment, but real assets and assets explicitly linked to inflation can mitigate this problem, they note. That diversification includes inflation-linked bonds and commodity-related infrastructure stocks, they said. A link to the piece is available in today's newsletter, Suzanne Cosgrove reported. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From Bloomberg, ex-JP Morgan trader wins UK employment fight over spoofing. Bradley Jones was unfairly dismissed and didn't spoof. JP Morgan wanted to, quote, appease its regulators, unquote, judge says. A fired J.P. Morgan Chase & Company trader won his legal fight with the U.S. investment bank after a London court rejected claims he'd engaged in market spoofing and said the company had targeted the man to appease its regulators. Bradley Jones, a former cash equities trader, was unfairly dismissed, Judge Stephen Knight said in a ruling published Wednesday. Jones had argued that he was only fired because the bank wanted to show it was taking a tougher line on a spoofing scandal that cost it close to $1 billion in penalty. My comment, maybe if he'd taken the FIA training course on avoiding spoofing, he would not have had this problem. Here's a story from the FT. Jump in coffee bean prices set to filter through to your morning brew. Drought in Brazil and issues at other major exporters has sent market prices soaring. A surge in green coffee prices may soon begin percolating into costs paid by consumers for their daily caffeine fix, in the latest sign of how hot commodity markets are affecting the broader global economy. My comment, coffee prices go venti. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. New York City ticker tape parade to honor COVID-19 workers. Sandra Lindsay, a Queens nurse who was one of the first in the U.S. to receive a COVID-19 vaccine, is the grand marshal. New York City on Wednesday will hold a ticker tape parade to honor healthcare workers and other frontline heroes during the COVID-19 pandemic. This is going to be a parade for everyday people, for working people who made a difference for this city, Mayor Bill de Blasio said at a press conference on Tuesday. My comment, where does one get ticker tape today? Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our most read story Tuesday was Bloomberg's The Next Big Divide in Finance Takes Shape in Your Office, in which big banks such as JP Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs go back to strict return-to-office policies, while others are more flexible. Second was the Wall Street Journal's Flaws Emerge in Justice Department's Strategy for Prosecuting Wall Street, about the trial of Robert Bogucki, a senior executive at Barclays. Third was the Markets Wiki page for Steve Stazek, who gave $300 to move the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign total over the $50,000 level.
This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for July 8th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with this letter that I wrote to the President of the United States. Dear Mr. President, almost 100 years ago, President Calvin Coolidge said, "The business of the United States of America is business." the first business from before our nation's founding that drove its development and rapid expansion was the cotton business. Cotton was the commodity that created international trade from the 8th century onward. To understand the cotton business and many origins of issues we still struggle with today, including race relations, I recommend you read the book Empire of Cotton by Sven Beckert. According to Beckert, in 1820, the U.S. exported 167.5 million pounds of cotton, which was 32% of all U.S. exports. By 1850, 67% of all U.S. cotton was grown on land that had not been part of the U.S. a half century earlier. Because of the importance of cotton to our nation's beginnings and all other commodities, it residually drove the production of the U.S. commodity and related derivatives markets are among the most important in the world. I am writing to you today to urge you to appoint a permanent chairperson of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. For the rest of this letter to President Biden, you can find it on johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. Former NYSE CEO Duncan Niederauer is profiled in a new Fortune magazine piece about his experience as the owner of a football club in Italy. The story is titled, "He Ran the NYSE, But Can He Handle Italian Soccer?" Former stock exchange CEO leads Venice into Italy's top league. He is part of a group that bought the Venezia Football Club. Nice to see Duncan enjoying himself with a new challenge. I wonder if he has five guys named Vinny on the team. Reuters reports that increases in vaccination rates are directly leading to increases in hospitality jobs. Reuters is also reporting that President Biden is going to issue an executive order targeting non-compete agreements, which prevent employees from taking better jobs at competing companies. Former CFTC Chairman Timothy Massett has a commentary in Bloomberg titled, "A Bitcoin ETF would be good for investors and regulators." Massett was the shorter balding CFTC chairman that followed the shorter balding Gary Gensler as chairman. Speaking of CFTC chairman, today I will publish the complete list of names recommended to me to be considered as candidates for the role of permanent CFTC chairman. Yesterday, I published my letter to President Biden in which I recommended acting CFTC chairman Rostin Benham to be named permanent chair based on the recommendations from a group of industry legal sources I contacted. Congratulations to Peter Clifford for starting a new position as Director of CBDC and Payment at Digital Asset. Caitlin Meyer has joined CBOE Global Markets as Director, North America Derivatives Coverage. She previously was with the CME Group. Yesterday, 70 Greenwood Scholars started their internships at over 30 financial plus fintech firms across the U.S. and in London. Yesterday, James Sullivan contributed to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. James is a former CME Group executive who is now head of commercial development, North America, at Stable. Stable provides custom, tailored risk management products in commodities that do not have any exchange-listed futures or options products, such as avocados or choice ribeyes. They are insurance products that are simple to understand as they provide price protection, and all that is required is the premium payment, no margin or cash flow maintenance. He says, "I very strongly believe in the products and approach as it has the potential to be transformative." Thank you to James and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Wild Women Enlisted Derivatives is offering a panel discussion with financial services industry leaders on Wednesday, July 28th from noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. It's a virtual event called Ask Me Anything Leadership Panel moderated by Elizabeth Cook. with panelists talking about their career trajectories and sharing their thoughts on marketplace shifts happening today. The event is free for WILD members. You can register and find more info with a link in today's newsletter. The CBOE Options Institute will host a 70-minute webinar next Wednesday, July 14th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time on U.S. tax considerations for listed options. The discussion with money managers will include points on differing taxation for exchange-listed index options and single-stock options, tax considerations for one-sided option strategies, long calls, long puts, short calls, short puts, and the outlook for legislative and regulatory initiatives that may impact the taxation of options. Registration information is available with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's newsletter. Steptoe webinar reviewing the Biden administration's first 6 months, July 20th. Please join Steptoe's Financial Services Group co-chair Matt Kultkin on Tuesday, July 20th for an interactive discussion with seasoned financial services policy experts. We'll discuss legislative developments, regulatory trends, and other events that have affected the financial services industry since January 20th and project what may be on the horizon for the new administration. My comment, how about the next 6 months? Here's a story from the Financial Times. Letter, crypto investors should ignore its Instagram stars. From Rupak Ghosh. Jemima Kelly, in an opinion from June 24th, is right to point out crypto has attracted its fair share of scams and financial speculation. It has serious technological challenges. There is flip-flopping from crypto's high priest Elon Musk, but is the reality so black or white that crypto and decentralized finance or DeFi is the solution to all the inequalities in society or a big Ponzi scheme? My comment, ignore Elon at your own risk. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Could AI keep people alive after death? Experts are exploring ways artificial intelligence might confer a kind of digital immortality, preserving the personalities of the departed in virtual form and then allowing them to evolve. What if Abraham Lincoln could address Congress today? Or your great-grandmother could help run the family business? Researchers and entrepreneurs are starting to ponder how artificial intelligence could create versions of people after their deaths, not only as static replicas for the benefit of their loved ones, but as evolving digital entities that may steer companies or influence world events. My comment, people live on in memories and now data banks. Here's a story from CNN. When should vaccinated people wear masks now? An expert weighs in. The Delta variant, a more transmissible and potentially more dangerous strain of coronavirus, now makes up more than half of all new infections in the United States, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This variant, combined with low rates of vaccination in many parts of the country, is leading to new surges in COVID-19 cases, which has led Los Angeles County and St. Louis area health officials encouraging even people who are fully vaccinated to wear masks indoors. The World Health Organization has issued similar guidance. The CDC has continued to say that vaccinated people do not need to wear masks under most circumstances. My comment, when you think it is the right thing to do, wear a mask. Here's a story from CNET. Heinz starts petition to make hot dogs and buns come in equal packs. Food waste is more and more of a known issue, with American consumers wasting nearly 40% of food they buy, according to the Natural Resources Defense Council. Why then are hot dog makers and hot dog bun bakers not doing their part? Hot dogs, Heinz Ketchup Canada says in a new video, often comes in packs of 10, while hot dog buns regularly come in groups of 8. I might argue their numbers. I don't always see a 10 to 8 groupings, but there's no denying they never seem to match up. My comment, There's a new algo for this. Here's a press release from Deutsche Börse. Settled in, Tornik Kishik Vili, people and ideas at Deutsche Börse. In our Settled In series, our colleagues who have decided to start their careers at Deutsche Börse Group share their journeys with us. Tornik grew up in Georgia, then studied law in his bachelor's in Tbilisi. In 2018, he moved to Germany and completed his master's in public policy in Erfurt. When Tornik studied for his master's, he was already working at Deutsche Börse Group as a working student. Today, he is settled in as an account manager in intercompany organization at Deutsche Börse Group. My comment, I like the profiles the exchanges do for employees. Very cool. Here's a story from Fortune. He ran the NYSE, but can he handle Italian soccer? Former stock exchange CEO leads Venice into Italy's top league. When Venezia Football Club sealed its return to Italy's top soccer league after two decades, the team marked the achievement in May by parading through the city's canals on a boat as fans unfurled banners from bridges. For American owner Duncan Niederauer, now comes the bigger challenge. My comment, Duncan is one of my favorite former industry executives. I wonder if the football team all wears fleece vests. Here are your top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was Robinhood's debut is clouded by SEC scrutiny for payment for order flow from the Wall Street Journal. Second was ex-JP Morgan trader wins UK employment fight over spoofing from Bloomberg. Third was conservatives are leaning America wide open to the Delta variant, an opinion piece from The Week in Yahoo News. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for July 9th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with this announcement. MarketsWiki Education World of Opportunity 2021 virtual event announced for July 21st. John Lothian News is pleased to announce a 2021 virtual event for the MarketsWiki Education World of Opportunity series. The one-day 60-minute event will be held on Wednesday, July 21st from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. Central Daylight Time. The online-only event is free to all registered participants. There's a link in today's newsletter to register. The event includes two live presentations. The first is a fireside chat between JLN publisher John Lothian and CBOE Global Markets Executive Chairman and CEO Ed Tilley. The second presentation will be by Ed Haravon of Get Real about how to use virtual reality in displaying and using data. Haravon will take us deep into the cutting-edge world of virtual reality data and its possibilities. Additionally, other videos will be shared with attendees for viewing at their convenience. The first additional video will be a presentation by OCC Executive Director of Talent Acquisition, Andre Buckles. Buckles will discuss working for a company from a work-at-home or remote location. The second video will be an interview with Robin Wood, a full-time compliance examiner at the National Futures Association, who is a former summer intern for the Greenwood Project. She will discuss the Greenwood Project and how it prepared her for the opportunity to join the NFA full-time. The World of Opportunity series is aimed at interns, college students, new employees, or anyone who is interested in a career in the financial markets. Our goal is to educate and inspire the next generation of industry professionals through insightful presentations by industry leaders. The second story is Names for Consideration as Chair for the CFTC by John Lothian. That's me. Leading industry legal sources recommendations for CFTC chair collected by JLN. I have written a letter to the President of the United States about the need for the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission to have a permanent chair named and confirmed. I have suggested that Rostin Benham, the current acting chairman of the CFTC, should become the permanent chair of the commission. I determined Benham was the choice after I requested suggestions from leading legal sources from the derivatives and capital capital markets who are known to me and who are subscribers to the John Lothian newsletter. However, there was an exhaustive list of other suggestions for chairman of the CFTC from my sources. If Benham is not President Biden's choice, then any of those named individuals has the experience, knowledge, education, and leadership to serve admirably as CFTC chair. I have not distinguished the choices by any demographic category. I only listed them by their qualifications to serve. However, qualified people of many different demographics are on the list. Listed are people from the industry or from Washington. Listed are people who are lawyers and some who are not, though most are. Listed are people with previous service at the CFTC and many other government organizations and party affiliations. Listed are people who leading legal sources of mine think would make excellent chairs of the CFTC or potentially commissioners. Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. The FIA has produced a couple of videos to promote IDX, including this one, which there was a link in today's newsletter for, that features images of CQG's Pat Kenny fumbling the gala raffle box. You can subscribe to the FIA's YouTube channel with a link in today's newsletter. Such a nice way to promote IDX. Footnote, FIA actually didn't want me to release that video, so it's probably not there anymore. It has been 2 weeks since I mentioned the most interesting man in the world, Pat Kenny, in JLN. Yesterday, we opened up registration for the 2021 Markets Wiki Education World of Opportunity event. You see the notice and link to register at the top of today's newsletter. This year's event is only a 1 hour long and features two presenters, CBOE's Ed Tilley and GetReal's Ed Haravan. We are also issuing additional videos that are pre-recorded and edited for the audience to watch at their convenience. We hope to shoot more videos to add to the collection to send those who register for the event. The videos will also be available in JLN. Sign up your interns, whether they are in Chicago, New York, London, Tokyo, or Singapore. Even if they don't attend in person, they will get links to all the videos we produce from this year's series. Today, we also published the list of suggested names for the role of CFTC chairman. These names came from legal sources of mine who read JLN. It was an informal survey and not meant to be exhaustive, though it is quite the list. My apologies for any oversights of people who should be on the list but were not suggested by my sources. I am sure there are many qualified people who could have been included in the list. The rumor is serious. The restaurant on the main floor of the CBOT building may be open this month, though no date has been set. There were no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Thank you to all who have given and all who have yet to give. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From Bloomberg, UK leaves door open to bank holiday if England wins Euro 2020. England play Italy on Sunday in first major final since 1966. Johnson's spokesman says Premier doesn't want to tempt fate. The UK government held out the prospect of an extra bank holiday if England wins soccer's European Championship on Sunday. England will play Italy in the final at London's Wembley Stadium. It's the team's first major soccer final since it won the World Cup in 1966. Asked on Friday whether there might be a national bank holiday on July 19th as a result of a win, Prime Minister Boris Johnson's spokesman James Davies was at pains not to deny it, and he didn't want to tempt fate. My comment: do you want to see how a politician can lose a football championship for a nation? Here's another story from Reuters. Yes, winning the Euros can really help your stock market. Euro 2020 semifinal victories for England and Italy mean football's either coming home or going to Rome. But the last 20 years show that hoisting the European Championship trophy can also lift the stock market. My comment, another reason for politicians to just shut up about football. Here's another story from Reuters. Is COVID coming home? England at risk from Euro 2020 euphoria. Football's coming home is the chant of England soccer fans at this year's Euro 2020 tournament, but it may come with COVID-19. England face Italy on Sunday in the final at London's Wembley Stadium, which has already hosted two semifinals over 2 days this week with crowds of around 60,000 people. And while Wednesday's semifinal victory over Denmark was greeted with jubilation, England is facing a new wave of COVID-19 cases fueled by a combination of highly contagious variant and its emergence from a third lockdown. My comment in the true cost of a championship is... Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. Britain say they value masks as UK ends compulsory wearing. The British public continues to see the value in the current health measures to slow the spread of coronavirus as the government prepares to end compulsory face coverings and social distancing on July 19th. My comment, maybe there's hope. Here's a story from Reuters. Can Reddit's silver apes beat the market? Carrie Cracker, 56, has worked in kitchens all his life. Since March, he spent around $100 a week, half his spare cash, on silver coins. He's part of a growing social media movement who say they are buying bars and coins for protection from a coming age of inflation. My comment from the article, inspired by Reddit forum Wall Street Bets, some of the 122,000-strong community hope to corner the market and bring down what they say is an unjust banking system. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our most read story was my Dear Mr. President, the CFTC needs a permanent chairman, not an acting one, from JLN. Second was Biden executive order to target non-compete agreements, White House, from Reuters. Third was Bloomberg's crypto scammers rip off billions as pump and dump schemes go digital. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.